cross, heavy the weight on my shoulders. I have discovered how great is the cost of trying alone to cross over. I try and I try, but the current's too strong. It's pulling me under, and I'm straight as mud. Don't leave me stranded. Rescue me, my God and my King. The waters are rising, and I cannot breathe. Left to your arms, all around me, carry me. Carry me over. There is a bridge that is easy to cross, where all of our burdens are lifted. Deep is the land that is waiting for us. Lord, give me faith to believe it. Cause I'm in a storm, but willing. I'll overcome, and I will not die. With you by my side, rescue me, my God and my King. The waters are rising, and I cannot breathe. Wrap your arms all around me. Carry me over. Carry me.
Prayer as we begin this portion of service.
Father, we thank you that in the midst of our dilemmas, our trials, the wind and the waves that crash against us, that you rescue us. Lord, thank you that we can trust you because you have the power to do it. And Lord, even though the wind and waves come, you show us that there is nothing to fear. Lord, I pray that you would empower us as we look into your word, as we study this story about Peter and you. Lord, that we might glean from it things that will strengthen us and encourage us through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the story is in Matthew chapter 14. And so 1492... in your pew Bibles, 1492, Matthew chapter 14. There's a lot of stories that are in chapter 14, but if you skip to verse 22, this is where the story of Jesus walking on the water is. Now, a little bit of a recap, as you all probably have read the story and will pretty much read it now. We're not going to read it because of time, but Jesus told the disciples to go ahead on to the other side of the lake. And, of course, it's a huge lake, as we know. And storms kick up at a moment's notice. The wind off of the mountains surrounding the area can kick up some pretty hefty storms. And so they're on their way, and they get a ways off. Jesus has been by himself praying. And so right about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, the fourth watch, 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus begins to walk to them on the water. Now, he gets to them, and of course they're all scared because they think that he's a ghost and all these other things, and all that's taken care of. And then Peter decides to walk out with Jesus and asks if he can. And so, he goes out, and of course he begins to sink. Well, here's some things that, in my mind I ask. Maybe some of you have asked the same questions. Maybe not. But the first thing that I ask in my mind is, why a storm? Why did Jesus walk out to the boat in a storm? He had the power to calm the seas, right? And he's done it before. Why did he just say, hey, stop. Let me walk on clear, calm water. But no, he walked out in a storm. The other thing I ask in my mind is, why walk? It said they were a considerable distance away. Why not fly? He certainly had the power to do that, didn't he? He's God in the flesh. He could fly. Or why even do that and just go, and you're in the boat? Right? Just, I'm in the boat. Hey, guys. That kind of thing. I mean, why walk on the water? Why walk in a storm? And then, of course, Peter, asking to jump out on the water. Are you nuts? I mean, of course, he sees Jesus walking on the water, so he knows Jesus has the power. And he gets a little bit uptight about that and begins to sink. So we know that there's that failing with Peter. When you look at this story, you can't help but also see ourselves in the story. Now, we've not walked on water, and we've not, even tempted that. Of course, there was a time, and I got to admit this, that I thought, maybe there I could. And you kind of get out in a boat, and then you kind of put your foot out there to see. It didn't happen. But we're his disciples, and really, if you think about it, God has called us out. We've said to God, Lord, if you want me to, I'll serve you. And Jesus has said, come on. Come out of your little secure boat. Come out and walk on water with me. And we do. We jump out of the world's boat that we're all safe and secure in and feeling quite snug. And Jesus calls, and we step out of our comfort zone and we begin to follow him. And we get distracted by waves, the trials that come our way, the trials of life. And we begin to sink. Lord, help. I think there's reasons for all that. First of all, why the wind and waves? Jesus could have calmed them. Why was he having to walk out in the wind and the waves? First of all, I think it's to show that even though he was God in the flesh, he still dealt with trials in his life too. He still had to deal with the things that came in the world. Even though he was not of the world, he was God in the flesh, he still was subject to the things in the world. He still walked from place to place. And, he could have just transported. I mean, why go through all that? Dirty feet, sore muscles, you know? Why? Because he's still subject to those things. He was subject to those things just like we were subject, and we are subject to those things. And so why? To demonstrate that, you know what? I know what you go through in this life. Jesus was not above and beyond us. He was one of us. And he walked this earth. He was born just like all of us are born. He was not born in the rich, you know, silver spoon lifestyle. He was born poor. He had to work for a living. You know, we know there's a gap between the birth and 33 years. We saw a little bit of that because he was 12 years old and went to the temple and he taught people in the temple. So we know he was a little smarty guy, you know, going to the temple and saying, oh, let me show you. But he did it humbly, of course. But the thing was is that he worked with his dad. His dad was a carpenter. And he worked with him. Physical labor. His dad had to make a living. And Jesus helped him. He gets to 33 years old and he starts his ministry at that point. Now, the other thing is, you know, why walk? Why not just transport? Why not just fly? Because walking invited Peter to come out of the boat. Jesus didn't do anything supernaturally impossible for us to accomplish. You know, it would have been different if Jesus would have said to Peter, you know, fly, jump off that building. Now that would have been just, you know. But walk on this water. Come out here and walk on the water. It was something that was possible in Christ, impossible in man. And Jesus walking stood there by the boat. Come on out. For us, the same thing. Jesus walks up to us in our day-to-day life with the winds crashing on, waves dashing in our lives. And Jesus says, follow me. I'll make it possible. But you have to keep your eyes on me. You know, we say things like, you know, but I minister for you. I'm in your boat. I'm doing what you told me to do. And still the obstacles come. Still the waves crash. You know, in verse 31, it gives us the complete and total answer. Jesus reached out, his hand caught him, caught Peter to rescue him, and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? It doesn't mean that if we don't doubt, we can just go out there and walk all over Lake Matanga. Of course, right now you probably could. It doesn't mean that we can jump off a building and, you know, nothing will happen. We'll just lightly land on the ground. Spiritually speaking, what it means is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We don't need to worry about the things that happen in our lives, things that crash down upon us. We have a prayer list of all kinds of issues that are happening in the lives of people. Anywhere from, you know, cancer to pain, discomfort. You know, we've seen illustrations of that as you sit in any place. You know, I sometimes get done shopping in Walmart, you know, and I'll just sit and watch. I'm a people watcher. You know, I watch people. And I see some with walkers, some with wheelchairs, some that can hardly walk, some that walk with limps, some with missing limbs, some that have really pretty clothes and some that have not so pretty clothes. You know, you see all kinds of people walking this world. And they all need one thing, Jesus Christ. We're called to be witnesses for Him. That's what we're called for. We're not called to walk on water necessarily. We're called to walk on the waters of this life, to preach the gospel. We're not called to doubt. We're called to be witnesses. There's no cause for fear. What do we have to fear? You know, we have the tendency to give up too soon. Peter, as he walked out on the water, you know, if he kept his eyes on Jesus and just said, you know, I know. And Jesus called me out here. I'm walking on water. But he got sidetracked. He started looking at the things around him. And we do the same thing. We look at all the things around us, the world, the trials, the people, the naysayers, you know, joy suckers, and call them. You know, and they're all around. You know, the Eeyore personalities, you know, you go to do something, you know, that, hey, God's calling me to teach Sunday school class, you know, and I just feel a real pull to do that. And, you know, I'm learning really a lot in the scriptures, you know, and I'm ready to teach. Oh, you can never teach. What's the matter with you? Have you ever taught before? Come on. And you think you can teach now? The naysayers, the joy suckers, you know, that people that doesn't matter what it is, you can't do it. But I want you to look at the next verse, verse 32. In chapter 14, it says, and when they climbed into the boat, Jesus and Peter, the wind all of a sudden died down. Isn't that interesting? Then those who were in the boat worshipped him. Truly, you are the Son of God. That's what we need to understand. That he is the Son of God. He can do whatever he chooses to do. When he calls us, he will give us whatever we need to do what he wants us to do. I can't preach. I can't. Outside of Christ. I don't want to stand up here among, you know, in front of 200 people. Who would? Raise your hands if you want to preach up here. You know, it's not something that people relish. In fact, in statistics, they say the besides death, the most feared thing is public speaking. And then you top on and pile on the responsibility that you're preaching God's word and representing God Himself, and the responsibility is overwhelming. But in Christ, I have no fear of that, because He gives me what I need when I need it. And so we need to come to grips with, as we take communion this morning, we're reminded, He is Lord. We're not taking communion representing my body and my blood. That would be a waste of time. This represents Jesus Christ, His body, His blood. He died for us. He gave the ultimate price. Why did He give that ultimate price? Why did He do what He did? Why did He walk on water and the waves? Why did He even come here and live 33 years in this world and be born as a baby and grow up to 33 years old? Why did He do all those things? For us. To show us He's with us. He'll never leave us. If He didn't want to do it, He wouldn't have. He did it all voluntarily and left the glory of heaven to come and wallow in the dirt of this earth with us, His creation, sinners that for the most part didn't care about Him and didn't want to care about Him. But it didn't change the fact that He's the Son of God, and it didn't change the fact that He'll give us what we need to do whatever we need to do. So, the time of doubting is over. believe that he can do it. And step out of that little comfort zone of the boat that you're in. Step out and do what God has called you to do. What has he called you? I don't know what he's called you to do. That's between you and him. But he has called you to do something. First of all, the first thing he's called us to do is be witnesses. That's for all of us. What specifically you're to do, and as far as serving the church or serving in the community, that's between you and him. But you are to be a witness. And that doesn't mean you've got to stand on the street corner over by the hotel cafe. You know, I picture that sometimes in my mind, standing on the old soapbox and preaching the gospel right there on the street corner. He didn't call you to do that. He called some people to do that, but maybe not you. But he's called you to something. Maybe in your own family. Maybe there's someone that you see and they're missing, and God's calling you to call them. You know, there's lots of things that we could be doing. Maybe God's calling you to go to the nursing home and visit people there and pray for them. Maybe he's calling you to just call people on the phone, just randomly. Just pull out the church directory and open it up and call that person. Maybe pray over it and open the directory and find someone that God puts on your heart. Well, there's a multitude of things that you can do. Is God calling you to do that? Step out of the boat and do it. Don't worry about the waves and the wind. Oh, you'll probably sink once in a while. But call out to the Lord. He'll rescue you. He'll put you back on solid ground, get you back to safety. You keep on going. That's what it's all about. You know, as we prepare for communion, that's what we want to think about. Is that as we take that bread and we take that cup, you remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do whatever he calls me to do. What is he calling me to do? I'm representing him. I'm taking the cup and the bread, and I'm remembering his sacrifice for me and what he's done for me. What am I doing for him? Think about that as we prepare our hearts for communion. So let's bow our heads and pray. And as I pray, you think in your mind and pray silently. Ask God, what would you have me do? How would you want me to serve? And just let's think about those things. Now, Father, thank you so much for challenging us this morning. To challenge us to step outside that boat of safety. That boat that is comfortable. That we aren't really doing anything for you. We just want to soak in the salvation and wait for heaven. Lord, I pray that as we're challenged this morning to be witnesses for you, whatever capacity that might be, whether it be speaking words or just living our lives as an example for someone, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's extended family, maybe it's friends, people I work with, or whoever it might be, I pray that you would work in us what you would have us to be. Lord, thank you again for dying for us. And not only dying for us, but even coming here as a baby and living your life here in this world just to show us who you are and what you're all about. You left your comfort zone. You left your boat and lived here in this world for us. So Lord, I pray as we take the bread and take the cup this morning that we remember the things you did. And that we challenge ourselves with the question, what do you want me to do? It doesn't have to be anything very major. It might not be preaching or being a missionary, but it's something. Lord, I pray you tug on our hearts and show us. Lord, now we commit this time as we prepare our hearts for communion. We pray that you clean us, cleanse us. Lord, help us to focus our eyes on you now as we take these elements. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.